Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Local Business Network Hour. Local Business Network is Michigan's most powerful business referral organization because we are truly committed to maximizing referrals for our members and because we have the experience and systems necessary to achieve that goal. Over 13 years of experience in building, training, and supporting business referral groups has resulted in a referral generation program superior to that offered by any of our competitors. Join Al and Chuck with today's show. Enjoy.
Hey, welcome everybody. This is the LBN Hour. Al Crawford here, joined in Texas by Chuck Gifford. How are you today, sir?
Doing well.
Fantastic. For our audience, one of the things that Chuck does every Monday is he puts together what we call news notes. And the news notes are information that it's going to be relevant for LBN members. It's something that goes out exclusively to our membership. And it's going to share networking tips, events, things are happening. And typically, the focus of our show each Wednesday is to really talk about the subject that was in the news notes. And Chuck went through, I don't know how much time this took you, but Chuck really went through and kind of the theme was find your pot of gold. And he spotlighted a bunch of different people from LBN. I think there was actually 11 different people that he spotlighted and kind of shared what they were about. Chuck, what was your motivation behind putting that? I mean, again, there had to be some serious hours put together in doing this. What was your motivation behind it?
Well, basically, you know, what we were talking about in the news notes the week before was the importance of referral generation and the fact that each and every LBN member needs to find within their sphere of influence referrals that they can give to others in exchange for referrals that they will receive back from them. So it's all about what we call the referral miracle, the exchange of referrals for referrals, the exchange of something that really has absolutely no value of you for you and that is free for something that has tremendous value to you, but also you receive for nothing. So it's you know, gathering referrals for others and receiving, giving them to someone who in return gives back referrals that are of tremendous value to you. And so finding that set of referrals within your sphere of influence is like finding a pot of gold. That's what we were talking about. That's the concept we were discussing. And we concluded with the thought that really that pot of gold is different for every individual. Some people find it in one spot, some people find it in another. And so I was trying to, in this article this week, talk about some of the different people in LBN and some of the different sources that they developed for those referrals that they could give to others. And so that article went together rather quickly. It probably only took me an hour and a half to do the whole article. Simply by looking back through the history of LBN, and we went all the way back to, you know, our first chapter in the first couple of months of LBN, and then kind of moving forward and talking about, and I tried to mix in, you know, different types of businesses, different types of referral sources, some in Michigan, some in Texas, to kind of give a variety so that people could look at this and say, well, you know, my situation is kind of like that. And then, you know, perhaps it'll help them find that source within their sphere of influence that they can tap into to find that pot of gold.
Yeah, and I think that that's important because I think that, you know, everybody thinks their situation is unique, and in many cases it is. And this is not, networking is not a plug and play. It's not something you can just do and be good at it. It is a learned skill. And I think that addressing these different types of people really kind of also plays into, you know, one of the things that I was going to ask your opinion of. And that was, you know, when you belong to, you join a new group or you start in a new group, are there any things, is there any advice that you would give to someone to be able to identify if that's the right group for them? What are some of the triggers that they should be, you know, paying attention to? You know, as you've started those chapters down in Texas and the ones in Michigan, I mean, I obviously have my opinions as well, but I think it's important for people to understand that it's not just a matter of you show up with a group of strangers and suddenly there's going to be, you know, $1,000 bills thrown around at each other.
Right. You know, I think the first thing you look for is compatibility. Is this a group of people that you connect with? Are these people that you can respect? Are they people that are in business categories where they're going to be able to generate referrals for you and you're going to be able to generate referrals for them? It's a give and take proposition. You need to be able to give referrals, and you need to receive referrals. Let's face it, you join a business referral group to get referrals. And if you're joining a group that is not in a position to give you referrals, you're not going to get any. So,
right.
But you also want to be with a group of people that you can like, you can trust. You can send your best friend to for some business services and trust that the individual you're sending them to is going to treat them honestly and fairly, do a good job for them, give them good value for the money that they spend with them. And so, you know, you want to have within this group, people that you respect. Or that you can build some respect for. You may not be able to completely judge that from one visit, but, you get a feeling for the group and the way that they treat you and the way that they treat other people in the group and the way they run the meeting. Is it a business meeting or is it a coffee clatch? Are they serious about this? Or are they just there to, glad hand and have a good time? Is there an agenda? Do they follow the agenda? Do they show respect to one another? Are there referrals being passed? And that's really the bottom line, isn't it?
Yep.
If there aren't any referrals, or if we go into a recitation of vague descriptions of referrals that were passed 9 months ago, is this really an organization where things are happening and where you're going to get regular benefit from it? So those are some of the things I think that are important.
What about, Chuck, what about somebody, in conversation, one of the things that I typically ask is, have you ever networked before? And if so, what do you belong to? And what's your thought if somebody says, well, I belong to, two other or three other or even one other group? What are the concerns you have? And what are some things that, we need to be paying attention to in considering a person like that?
Well, it's not a bad thing to belong to other groups. In our mind, it shows that at least you recognize the value of networking and you're trying to find the group, the right group. I know you belonged to three or four different groups before you found LBN. And it's kind of good to have experience. But there's a dark side to that, too, because, sometimes you learn some bad habits in those groups. And as you know, one of our biggest challenges is overcoming those bad habits that people might have learned along the way, being with some groups that really don't do it right, don't really understand what it's all about, and develop some bad habits. So there are pluses and minuses. But there are different types of groups. It's important to understand the different types of groups. I think it's good to belong to a couple of different groups. But it gets difficult when they are all very similar to LBN.
Right.
If you're generating referrals and you're splitting them between two or three different groups that are somewhat similar in nature in terms of makeup and so on, then you're splitting referrals amongst several different organizations and several different people in the same business categories, and that can be create some problems, so that you're only bringing a small portion of what you're able to generate to the table. So that can be a negative, but it's a good thing to be a part of an open networking group where you're going simply to meet a lot of people, to prospect, to pass your business cards out and meet as many people as you can. Many of them may be good prospects for yourself or other members of your LBN chapter. Some of them might be good referral partners. Some might be people that you could invite to be a part of your chapter. So having some of that networking opportunity can be a very positive thing.
Agree. And all that I would kind of add to that is that when you're making your choices of who you're giving your business to, I think that there has to be a clear communication as to expectations. So to be able to say, I'm going to give you X amount of referrals, if you're a referral partner, there should be some sort of an expectation, based upon, data from the last 6 months, year, or whatever, that there's some sort of an expectation. And to me, if somebody's competing for my business, if I'm saying, the more you give me, the more I'll give you, if there's something like that, then so be it. But what I find too often, and one of the lessons I learned the hard way before coming, to LBN, was that I had all these people that I was fighting to get referrals for them, and the reality was that they were never fighting for me at all, and so it was something where I'm not saying I felt betrayed or anything, but it was something where the culture was such that, I was really trying to give as much as I could, but understanding that because these people were not trained the right way or they didn't have the same mindset as me, that it was a very one-sided, type of thing. So that would be the one thing that I would just say for people that are in multiple groups is, do you have an expectation? Is there, what is it you're expecting from your referral partners? And if you expect nothing, then you're going to get what you expect. But that's always kind of the shocker that I face now when I talk to people that belong to the other groups. And I think to promote community, promote, all those different things, it's awesome. But you can't go into it and say, well, I'm going to give this person 100% of my referrals, and I'm not giving the person in this group anything because my loyalty is that person. But then the questions ask, okay, what are they giving in return? And it's nothing. And I think that's one of those things where we have to really kind of look at it and say, does that make sense? Is that fair? Is that really the way that this whole relationship should work? And to me, it can't be that way.
Yeah, and sometimes, if you're dealing with somebody that's outside of LBN, you definitely cannot take for granted that they're going to give back. Even within LBN, sometimes you have to spell it out. Hey, I agree to help you, but I expect you to return the favor, I'm going to give you referrals, but I expect referrals in return. And,
right.
Referrals are easy for me to generate, and I will give you some referrals. But if I don't see anything coming back, or if I don't see you at least supporting other members of my chapter who then give back to me, then forget it. The flow will stop.
Right.
And so, and sometimes you just have to spell that out to people because they don't see it that way. They don't make that commitment naturally. They have to be told it's an expectation, or they won't do it.
Right.
So.
And I was kind of throwing it out there. It was a situation where I was at a new chapter that we're putting together, and had two people, you know, basically fighting for one position, and both had dramatically different backgrounds as far as networking and things, and it's something where, you know, I'm trying to be that little bird on the shoulder, you know, saying the, you know, the goods and the bads, you know, of this, but ultimately, you know, I want them to decide who they feel would best help them. And those were some of the things, Chuck, the stuff you talked about were some of the things that I, you know, I mentioned to them as far as, you know, when you're deciding to say, okay, we're going to let this person in and they're going to be part of our group, is, you know, what is their commitment to you? You know, what is it they're truly looking to give you, or are they simply looking to take? And that's one of the things you can't predict. You can kind of look at it and kind of look at, you know, who they are and how they hold themselves and, you know, how they present themselves and their attentiveness. Those are all things that I'm paying incredible attention to, is that, are they even listening to other people talk? And if those are okay, if they're both similar in that way, then you kind of have to roll the dice. And, you know, and I'm always hoping that the group makes the right decision.
Yeah, we recently had a home inspector visit one of our chapters. And I called him afterwards, and, you know, to find out what he thought and whether he wanted to be a part of the group. And you know, he immediately started saying, well, you know, I don't know if I can make it to the meetings because that's when I do my home inspections. And, you know, I said, well, you know, it's only twice a month. It's only an hour. And if you put them on your calendar, you can schedule around them. Start an inspection, you know, half an hour later than you might normally, or half an hour, you know, ended up half an hour earlier. You know, it can be done, but, you know, you have to make a commitment to the group. Well, I don't know if I can do that. You know, I have to take care of my customers, and I, you know, if I have to miss a meeting, I have to miss a meeting. Too bad, you know.
Right.
Well, you know, all right. Well, you're not going to work for us, you know.
Right.
It's
exactly.
Not going to happen. So, you know, I just had to immediately write him off, despite all the effort we'd put into getting him to come to a meeting and so on. So, you know, it was. In fact, the realtor in that group had invited him to come over to her office to share information, share his business card with other realtors there and so on. And I said, well, you know, I don't know if you really, he won't make a commitment to supporting you. You know, why should you go out of your way to help him grow his business? And,
right.
So, you know, it's you have to put your effort in those that are going to give back. And again,
right.
You know, it may not be directly to you, might be to somebody else in the chapter, but, you know, they have to give back in some way to the chapter, or it's, you know, they're not right for the chapter. It's just not going to work.
Absolutely agree. And so that was cool. It was cool. And one of the things I also did is kind of a way to help with the group's decision is it's a new group. So I had the time to do it. But I basically went around and had everybody tell a story. I said, you know, tell me a story about one of your recent transactions. And, you know, and it was kind of funny because, the first two went pretty smooth. And what I did was when they were done, because these are people that are brand new. They're like brand new at networking, you know, and they've never done a 60-second before. And they were terrified of it. And so what we did was we went through that exercise and then you know, I offered them some suggestions on a 60-second. Well, I got to the third person, and he didn't know. He didn't know why people hired him. He didn't know what value he actually brought to his customers. And I asked him, and I said, well, how do you get your business? He said, it's all referrals. I said, well, why do people refer you? He's like, I don't know. And I was like, do you think that's not an important thing to understand? Like, what was it about what you brought to the table that is that what people, you know, appreciate about your business? And in this situation, it's really kind of a discovery phase for this person because they never even thought about it. And it was something where obviously you're doing something right. If everybody you're getting is referred, you know, what, and so we spent some extra time, you know, with this guy going through and uncovering just some amazing things that he's very humble, you know, very humble, very, you know, very not wanting to be braggadocious or anything, but we're uncovering this amazing stuff that this guy does. And then we're able to go, okay, now we understand this is why, you know, people are going to use you. And then basically we kind of took that and showed him, you know, a few different directions that he could go in with the, you know, with the 60-second. Well, then what I did was I saved the two people that were competing for the spot. I made them last so that they didn't feel they were being singled out or picked on or anything like that. And I had them do the same thing. Well, to me, what it was doing, it was a way of showing the group their knowledge, their experience, their compassion, you know, all those different things. And also what I was looking for was, were they open to conversation or criticism? So that if I could offer some insight or I could offer some guidance, were they going to bite my head off or would they be receptive? You know, and those were things to me. It was an important way to almost subliminally, you know, kind of, you know, let the people kind of show their cards because, you know, to me, it's like, man, you can't make your decision in a minute. And that can't be, okay, I got the guy talks for a minute and I'm going to decide who's going to, you know, hold my financial, you know, well-being for the next 20 years. But to me, that I just felt I was happy that I actually had that opportunity to be able to kind of do that extra thing. And I think I set them up better to be able to make the decision on who, you know, they were going to take for the group.
And that's why we recommend to our chapters that they go through an interview process with a new applicant. You know, once
right.
they receive an application, it's not an automatic stamp of approval. It's, you know, let's set up an interview and come in and tell us about your business. And one of the most important questions is, you know, tell us a little bit about the types of referrals you're going to be able to give others within the group. How are you going to help us? And, you know, if they can't answer that question, you know, maybe they just need a little help identifying it. But, you know, if they truly can't see it, then they're not going to be of much use to the chapter.
Right, right. So, Chuck, did you want to get into some of these stories? I mean, I know you spent a lot of time on
sure.
these, and I just think there's some things that are definitely worth sharing with our audience.
Right. So, again, what these are examples of different people in LBN that, you know, were fairly prolific referral generators. And it talks about, and each story is the story of how they were able to generate, you know, a goodly number of referrals at every meeting. And the first example I used was Jim Motley. And Jim has a computer services firm. And basically, when he first joined LBN, he was working with somebody else. He was an office manager for another company. And so he was sitting in the office, and customers would come in to tell him they had an issue or a problem and ask for help, and then he'd send somebody else out to do the actual work, either set up a new computer or deal with the problem or whatever. And he would take the time to chat with these people, ask them about their business, see what was what kind of problems they were facing, and so on. And he printed out a roster of all of the LBN members. He kept it on his desk. That roster is in order by business category. And so when they mentioned something, he'd check through the list, see if there was somebody there that he felt might be able to help them with their problem. And he'd say, you know, I have a friend that's in that business. I think he might be able to help you. Would it be okay if I have him give you a call? And so invariably, they would say, yeah, because they had been dealing with this guy. They trusted this guy. They had confidence in the work that he did, and they had confidence in him. So if he recommended somebody, they had confidence that that person would be able to help them as well. So he would come to every meeting with 6 or 7 referrals. And this was early in LBN's history. And so, he was the most prolific referral generator we had at the time. But his source was simply that ability to chat with the customers of the business that he was working for. So his source, customers of the business. So and that just worked very well for him. And I'm sure there are many others in LBN that have a good customer base that if they take the time to talk with them and ask, hey, you know, is there anything else I can do to help you? They're going to find that there are a lot of referrals that are available. The second person I mentioned was Jessica Milam. Jessica's down here in Texas, and she is the manager for an air conditioning company, but she's also very active on social media. She's active in, she and her husband also have a pet sitting service, and they market that within the local neighborhood and neighboring communities. And so they're very active on Nextdoor, and down here we have in my subdivision site that's called I Love Savannah, which is just, you know, all the community residents sharing information about who can help with this and who can help with that. And so she's extremely active on those sites. And so that became the source of her referrals. There would be people on those sites, and she's well known on those sites, who were looking for help. I need a painter to paint the house. My fence is broken. I need somebody. My garage door is broken, et cetera, et cetera. And so she would just be able to generate tons of referrals simply by doing what she was already doing, and that was being active on a daily basis on the social media sites in the neighborhood. And I'm sure you can relate to that one, because I know that you're also very active on social media. Not the same types of social media, but that type of thing is something that you do as well.
Yeah, every day. I mean, I seldom does a day go by that I don't generate a referral from social media. And so, yeah, absolutely. So I just hats off to her in doing that. It's been proven to be another tool that we can all have in our toolbox if we want to be better at generating referrals for each other.
Right. And so, I mean, you don't have to use all of these different methodologies. For some people, one works better than others. They're more comfortable with one than the other. But, you know, we're just trying to help people identify what, you know, might be the best source for them. So
absolutely. That's the reason I say that, you know, not one thing can never be the answer, because it's never going to apply to everybody. But you need to have, you know, to me, it's kind of going to the buffet. You need to have a little bit of a lot of stuff instead of gorging yourself on one thing, you know. And so I think, you know, to me, the people that are the best referral generators are the ones that are involved in more than, you know, one activity or more than one, you know, one type of thing. And so Can I talk about, I know Steve was the next one you had. Can I talk about Steve, Chuck?
Sure.
So Steve Volk, who's with Motor City Floors, I've known Steve, and it's kind of funny because I think about, like, when I first joined LBN, and I was really trying to understand the model where it was like, you know, I'd been in other groups, and I could go to that one group, and I couldn't go to anything else. And then I joined LBN, and they're like, you can visit as many chapters as don't have a competing spot. And I'm looking, and I'm like, so I could visit a chapter every day if I wanted to, and I don't have to pay anything extra. They're like, yeah. Well, what happened was I started running into Steve Volk. And Steve, you know, was selling, you know, carpet and hardwood and stuff. And I was like, oh, my God, this guy's great. And what was funny was that Steve was pretty new in the whole scenario as well. He'd been in a family-owned business for years and was kind of, you know, trying to get his feet wet. And so we were both kind of just going out there and just, you know, trying to see what would work. And so Steve's business started taking off, as did mine. And we became really good friends. And so what happened was a lot of stuff that we would do is we would talk to each other and we'd kind of collaborate on what was going on. And because we heard more and more, because we were at visiting chapters at the same time all the time, is I knew more and more about what his business was and he knew more about me. And so what started happening was when I started doing all the member training and I was getting better and better at this, Steve wanted to stay up and Steve wanted to continue to get better. And so he's made it a habit over the last, you know, 6 or 7 years to come to my classes at least 3 or 4 times a year. And his idea was, and he shared this with me, he looked back at his whole time that he's been networking, and I think he said that his entire networking career, over 65% of his business has come from LBN. And in the last several years, it's been 80% has been from LBN. The other 20%, because it's somebody knows somebody knows somebody, some of it's probably LBN. But it was something where to have a person who embraced the tools, and that's really where I think Steve's different. And why I was glad you put him after this other person, Chuck, was because Steve doesn't use social media. It's not his thing. Steve walks around with a 50-pound notebook that he has everybody's information in, all the things. So, but he has a system. And that's what I'm saying. There's no right or wrong. It's just have a system so that if I need something, Steve, I need this, he's going to be able to look in his book and find information about that person, give you whatever you need about them. And I use social media for that. But again, it's just have something. So that's why I'm really grateful. I mean, so I'm grateful to have Steve as a friend. He's done amazing work for us. You know, personally, he's done stuff for us, and I can't say enough about him. And how he's become such a great ambassador, you know, for LBN, that it's just something where it's seldom that I go somewhere and say, you guys know Steve, and it's seldom, if ever, that somebody says, I don't know who he is. I mean, he's got that much of a presence,
right?
You know, within LBN, yeah.
So essentially, his source is the entire LBN organization. He visits 14 chapters a month, and learns about people, shares information about his business with them. So if somebody has a need, he says, well, I know somebody over in this chapter that does that. So be okay if I have them give you a call, and, you know, he sets it up. Or, he mentioned that one time, where one of his customers called and said, my parents are getting older. Looks like we're going to have to put them into a nursing home and sell their house. And we need, you know, some new flooring in order to sell the house. Could you come on over and take a look at it? So he went over and he walked out of there with 8 referrals for other people because he kept saying, what else do you need? And they needed a realtor, and they needed, they needed somebody to fix the roof, and they needed somebody to do this. They needed somebody to haul away the junk, and they needed somebody to move them, and they needed this and that. And so literally walked out of there with 8 referrals for other people. So, but his source, again, is the entire LBN organization. So,
and every one of those people is grateful. And every one of those people is grateful for him. And now
right.
that's who they're going to think about as well. Because Steve's
right.
been thinking about them. And so it twirls around, you know, to repay itself, you know, over and over again. So it's just cool to see. To me, it's like if I talk to somebody and they say this isn't working or I'm not getting out of it what I want, and I kind of go through my checklist of things to say, you know, are you doing these three things? And I'll keep it very simple at the beginning. And if they're saying yes, then you know, I go a little bit further. And what I love about the system that you created, Chuck, is that it is foolproof. That I've never had a person that I've gone through for that has been doing those things. And so and that's what I like about this, is that you don't have to do everything, but you need to do some things, and you need to do them regularly, and you need to be consistent, you know, with that. And so that's why, you know, I'm glad, and that's why we see, you know, the amount of people that have had success that goes far beyond, you know, the list that we have in front of us today.
And the next guy on the list is Mr. Al Crawford. And, you know, many of our listeners know your story, but I'm sure there's some out there that don't. But, you know, what was really, I think, unique about you was the creativity that you used in finding that source. You were marketing office equipment, copiers, and mostly high-end office copiers, so expensive equipment, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. And you were also visiting a lot of chapters, and you met a guy that was with an office supply company, and he sold copiers too. But the copiers that he sold were of the $250 variety, $250 to $500, something like that. And you didn't sell those. And you happened to be receiving from your boss a list of names of leads that were, I'm not even sure where they got them, but you had this list of names. But unfortunately, the vast majority of them were for these low-cost copiers. And so
right.
it was a waste of your time to go through and call all these people because they didn't need what you had to sell. So you said to this guy, hey, you know, I've got this whole list of people. It'd be perfect for you. I'll give them to you if you'll send me those referrals that you find that are for higher-end copiers, those people that need the products that I sell. And so he said, great, I'd love to do that deal. So you were giving him probably, I don't know, 10, 15 leads a month, and he was selling tons of small copiers. And in the process of doing that, he would meet somebody that also needed a bigger copier, or some of his other clients for office supplies were larger companies, and he could talk to them and find out that they had needs for larger copiers and get you in the door to talk to them. And so you created a source there of referrals that you could give to him simply by recognizing that this list that you were receiving, which had no value to you, could be of tremendous value to him. So it shows a real creativity in recognizing that there's a real value to those referrals, and making arrangements to give them to somebody that could give back.
Well, and I just thought of it from this. Here's kind of how my logic worked was that I wanted him to be able to keep those clients in place. So he was selling all other kinds of stuff to them, all the paper needs, all the different things that they needed. And to me, you know, what I was basically looking at was, to say that, okay, a normal lease on one of my machines was, I don't even remember anymore, $200 a month. Let's say $200 a month. And so what I was able to have him do is I said, go take a look at your clients, and if you have somebody that's spending more than $200 a month on toner, let them know that I can put this machine in their office for free, and then they can use that other money for, you know, whatever purpose they have. And some were spending $400, $500, $600 a month, so they were going to see significant savings on, you know, on doing this stuff. And I was like, because I don't want you to lose that client. I don't want them to go elsewhere and take all their other stuff somewhere. And so to me, it was what a win-win it would be, because I didn't want their other stuff. I just wanted to do their printing, or, you know, to be the printer. And so it worked out well. Well, the other thing was the company I worked for, we were paying for these leads. So you didn't have a choice as to if they were good or bad. And so I was getting this list of leads that I couldn't do any. We were paying for these silly things, and they were garbage, an absolute garbage type of thing. So I was like, how can this make sense? So I'm like, but again, I had to put something on it. I can't just say, oh, hey, you're a cool guy, here's all these referrals. You know, I had to train him to listen for my needs. And that's something that we all have that ability to do, to say that I'm willing to give you this, but in return I need that. And if we manage this and we monitor it, then we make each other happy. But what I see constantly is people are always, it's the first thing. I give them everything. I've never asked for anything, but I'm mad at them because they don't give me anything. But that was stuff that I learned early on from the stuff that you taught, Chuck, that's the way this was supposed to work. And it worked out, you know, really, really, really well. But it's just something where I tried to practice what I preach and the stuff that I do, and it proved itself, you know, incredibly well. And I continue in all the trainings I do today, I still base it on those same premises. And that same idea is that, you know, if we're setting up, it's really about I'm gonna take care of you, but what we're gonna have to do is eventually you need to take care of me. And so I'm absolutely happy to give somebody a referral or two, but if we share the same clientele, there's going to come a time where you need to start helping me. And if not, then I'll find somebody else that will. And that's really the way we need to approach this. And I think that in these stories that we share, everybody has that one same common thing in place. So why don't you go to the next one?
Well, you know, one more thing. You know, sometimes it requires a little thought and a little discussion and, you know, really, you know, thinking about how can we make this work. And, you know, you put that time and effort into it. You found that way. A lot of people have those opportunities there, but they just let them sit or they write them off. And, you know, you put the time and effort into figuring out how can we make this work for both of us. And the other guy was, you know, willing to collaborate and listen and work with you as well. So that's really an important part of the story as well. Tory Pinkerton is a mortgage guy, and he brings about 5 referrals per meeting. And, you know, 2 or 3, 3 or 4 of those are for a credit repair person that he, you know, has a good working relationship with. And so his clients, many of those who come to him, can't qualify for a mortgage at all or have to pay a high rate on their mortgage because their credit is in such bad shape. So, again, his clients have the need. He recognizes that need. And from that, he has tons of referrals to give to this lady. And she gives back to him a customer that's now ready to go get a mortgage. So nice. It's, you know, they help each other. She also works with realtors, and she's able to refer realtors to him to, you know, who can be good referral partners for him. So it's a good synergistic relationship that works. They've kind of taken the needs of the client and found ways to work together to make sure that they solve their problems. So that's Tory. Let's see. number six is just kind of a broad scope. Just realtors and mortgage lenders in general are prolific referral generators simply because their clients have so many needs. And you know, the really good realtors and the really good lenders in LBN are those who recognize that if I help my clients with all these needs, this whole vast array of needs, if I build a team of referral partners who can help them solve every problem they might have, then those clients are going to appreciate me not only now, but they're going to refer other people to me, and they're going to come back to me 10 years from now when they're ready to buy or sell again. So, you know, mortgage people and realtors are great referral partners, referral generators, and have a pot of gold sitting there that they absolutely must tap into. And if they do,
right,
it's just huge rewards. Attorneys, the best referral partners for attorneys are attorneys, because there are so many different fields of law, and yet no matter what field of law you're in, people will call you asking if you do some other type of law. And so they constantly get calls from people they can't help. But if they have relationships with other attorneys that can provide those services, then they have a tremendous number of referrals that they can give, and those other attorneys are getting the same types of calls from people who need their services. And so it's you know, a good give and take there. Again, they're taking a look at the needs of their own customers or people that just call in out of the blue. But, you know, instead of just saying, no, I don't do that, you have to look for somebody else, they're actually capturing that referral and investing it in someone who will give back. And that's really the key.
Well, I just wanted to talk about that for a second, Chuck. You know, I think, you know, before, again, prior to my life in networking, you know, basically what I knew about attorneys was what I saw on TV. And was something where you see that name or that person, and, you know, you're thinking that's who you're going to get. Well, you're never going to get that person. You're never going to see that person as a face. They have nothing to do with it. And what I've understood over the last, you know, last 8 or 9 years of doing this is how specialized attorneys are, how specific they are in what they practice. And that's what I love about the 35 attorneys we have, you know, within LBN, is that everybody knows what they're good at, and they'll stick within that. But they also all have that connection with those other attorneys that can complement what they're doing, so that, you know, their client's never going to fall to the wayside. They're always going to have those other attorneys. And where I saw it firsthand was when we did the legal exchange for our listeners. It's an event we do a couple times a year that brings all of the different genres together. So I bring the attorneys together, and I've done it twice. The first time I was like, oh, how's this going to go? And we're in a circle and we're talking, and I'm watching referrals passing across from me. Oh my God, I need this. Can you do that for me? And they're speaking attorney. I don't understand what they're talking about. And I'm watching this collaboration going amongst these guys and ladies. And I'm just like, oh my, I had no idea. I was so amazed at how much camaraderie there is and how much friendship and all those things that there are. And because of what we do within LBN, we've strengthened so many of those relationships that now, you know, I'm at one chapter and I hear an attorney bragging about another attorney in another chapter, and I was like, this is so awesome that you guys are all, like, you're on the same side. You're not against each other.
Yeah, there's a tremendous willingness to refer each other. If you know the other guy has a level of expertise in an area that you just don't possess. You just can't know it all. There's just no way. And especially if you're in a small firm with one or two people, there's no way you can do an adequate job of representing all possible clients. So it's you need other attorneys to be able to refer to when somebody comes in with a problem that, hey, this person may be a great client for you, but every once in a while they come up with an issue that you just have no expertise in at all. So you need to be able to outsource that. You need to be able to refer it, and you want to refer it to somebody that's going to refer back to you. So build those relationships.
When we did the show on the other radio show 2 weeks ago, Friday, we had Joanna Abramson, who's an attorney. And on the show, we were talking, and she said they love to go to court. That we love to go to court. And I'm like, what? And she said, do you know how many attorneys hate court? They never want to go to court. And the idea of going to a trial, that scares the crap out of them. And she goes, we love that. And so I talked to some other attorneys after that, and they're going like, I never want to go to court. I will avoid like the plague. And I was like, oh my God, I had no idea. But that's, you know, that's the different ways that these guys, you know, function, and they love it. They live for it. And it was like others were like, no, we don't want any part of that.
Okay. Paul Russo is our next example. He says, send out cards to distributor. And, you know, we were talking earlier about belonging to several different networking groups. He belongs to two or three groups that are just open networking, and he belongs to an LBN chapter. Well, what he's able to do is take members from our LBN chapter to his open networking groups and introduce them to all the people there who might be good referral partners for those individuals from his chapter.
Nice.
So he, you know, in that way, he's able to generate a ton of referrals to help out his members of his chapter. And so it's, but, you know, frequently I find that people don't understand that concept of referral partners and that concept of a referral partner being a referral. So, and this is a group, it's a very interesting group, and they have strong networkers in there, but they never really thought about referring someone to a referral partner. And so it's something that they just suddenly caught on to, and so it's he's one that's able to take full advantage of that and help other members of his chapter in a big way. So his source of referrals are his other referral groups. So, you know, we've talked about, you know, your own customers. We've talked about other attorneys. We've talked about social media contacts. We've talked about other networking groups and so on and so on. So, you know, so there are so many different sources out there that, you know, you really have to look within your framework, within your sphere of influence, and say, who are the people that I know that I'm in contact with on a regular basis that can be a source of referrals that I can exchange for referrals? Steve Heyer, internet services provider. And Steve has been an LBN forever. And his clients not only need, you know, they have their website services set up through Steve, but, you know, obviously also they have computers. And so they frequently come to Steve and say, hey, you know, I got a computer problem. Can you help me with my computer problem? And Steve doesn't do that. So he's able to refer those customers to Jim Motley. So that's, you know, again, he's working with his customers to serve their needs. Also, Steve's in the marketing business, but he only does internet marketing. he doesn't do the other types of marketing, print media, and so on and so forth, videography, you know, anybody else that's in a related field that is marketing oriented, he doesn't do that stuff. So he's able to refer that to other people. So again, his customers become the sources for all the referrals he's able to generate and give to others, who then give back to him in return. So,
right.
And I think we're getting short on time here. How are we doing?
We have about 4 minutes left, Chuck. If you wanted to, you can spend a couple minutes on the commercial.
Okay, so commercial lenders is another group. You know, when commercial lenders in a bank are frequently tasked with setting up new accounts for new businesses, and so they're when somebody starts a new business, of course. They need all kinds of professional help. They need attorneys. They need accountants. They need an insurance professional. They may need IT services. They might need somebody to help them with their marketing. Just all kinds of services that they need. And so they're just rife with needs. And so that commercial lender can refer those individuals out to a whole host of people who then will hopefully, when they run across a client that needs banking services, needs a commercial loan, et cetera, will refer to them. So again, that's a lender who's dealing with brand new customers is able to satisfy a broad range of the needs of those customers by referring them to other business professionals. So, just so many different sources, so many different ways of developing these referrals, as long as you recognize the value of the referrals and recognize that, hey, if I capture these things, I can give them away.
Oh, Chuck, I think we lost you, bud. Are they still there? Okay, I think we just lost Chuck. We're in our last 2 minutes, but I guess, you know, the bottom line in this is that, you know, we want to make sure that the experience is the best possible. If you've listened to, you know, the different stories that we've shared and the different information that we've shared, you know, on the show today, you kind of get a broad range of this. But what I really also like is that for somebody who's a new business owner or is a business that's looking to grow, you know, when you're a part of an LBN, what you also have is you have all the support. So imagine that as you're a growing business, all those pieces that you need are going to be part of the organization. If it's branding, we have somebody. Is it print material? We have somebody. Do you need a location? You know, we have the ability to help, you know, with that. So that's what I've loved over my journey with LBN, is that having the ability to kind of do all of those things. Okay, you know, I'm adding more employees. Now I have to have disability insurance. Well, I don't know how to do that. Well, we have somebody that does that. That's what I really appreciate and love about the whole idea of being a part of an organization like an LBN, is that we all have access to everybody. Nobody's singled out. Nobody's set aside. No chapter or separate from anyone. We're all the same. We're all connected. And so that whatever it is you need, you have access to that person. You have the ability to network and to be able to give and get referrals from, you know, people of instead of being a part of a group that has 15 or 16 people, you're part of an organization that has more than 400. And so the power of that to be able to give and get is something you just really can't even envision it until you're a part of it. So that's all for today. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. As I always close the show with, God bless America. Take care, everybody, and we'll see you all next week. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.